Okay, gentlemen, welcome back to another session of the Thursday evening Musa Shir, and we're on Daf Yud Zayin Orcha Tzadikim, and this is Shir number 5 for Shah HaGaiva, and CD number 23. We were speaking last time about the different aspects of Gaiva, the Gaiva that is the physical gaiva, the gaiva that manifests itself in the person's physical being. And of course we got into all the discussions about how the person conducts himself in his dress and his eating habits, so on and so forth. And now the Orcha Tzadikim is going to address the aspect of gaiva that manifests itself in a person's chokhmah and his deeds, his actions. So on top of the page, Gavas ha'odam b'chokhmah u'v'masam tovim yesh bo shnei chalokim. The gaiva which manifests itself in chokhmah, wisdom, and good deeds, also can be divided into two different categories. Ha'echad tov, ha'echad ra, of course one is good and one is bad. Ha'gaiva ha'rahi, and it begins with the so-called bad kind of gaiva, ha'she yavaza b'nei yodam b'libo b'piv. This is a kind of person who is so filled with gaiva, with haughtiness, that he belittles other people in his heart. In other words, those are his thoughts, and he verbally belittles them. V'kulam chashuvim ketarim v'pechusam be'inav. Anyone else besides him, of course, he considers small and less. U'mahalel u'mishabech atzmo tamid. On the other hand, he praises, he exalts himself constantly. Shugado b'chachma, that he is great in wisdom. U'mitochach. And because of that feeling that he has, lo yoda alo emes, he will never admit to the truth. Mirov gavoso, because of his great and abundant gaiva. Ulolam near beinav chachmasov atzoso udevarav umasov hemishubachem etovim masiv chachmas atzas chaveriv. And of course, anything that he can think of, any etza, any advice, any wisdom, anything that he can possibly do is better than anyone else's advice and anyone else's actions. Umispoer tamid b'chachmasov umasov, and he constantly is showing off and exposing his wisdom and his actions, kichoves lekabel shevach v'kovod al devorah v'yishorim, because he's in need or he wants to receive praise and honor. V'alzeh ma shloma. And about this, Shlomo HaMelech said, and this is a fantastic pasuk to remember. So Shlomo HaMelech says about this, Yahalelcha zor v'lo picha. Let someone else praise you, and let it not be your own lips. In other words, it could very well be that you're deserving of a compliment, and you're deserving of praise, and you're deserving of honor. Let someone else give it to you. It's interesting, the Shochat, there's a Medrash Shochat Tov, there's a Medrash on Tehillim, on Mishlei rather, that says that it's a disgrace for a person to praise himself. I mean, people do it regularly. I mean, this is one of the symbols of haughtiness, of gaiva, that a person, you know, hey, how do you like the great job I did? Don't I look great today? Did you enjoy the delicious meal that I cooked up, that I spent so much time on? You know, so you know that there people do it. It's just that on the record, the Medrash is saying that this is a disgrace. Now, what should a person do? Let's say, just give me a second. Let's say, what should a person do if he is, for virtuous reasons, he needs to let others know that he could help them because he has something that they don't have. For example, he has a certain talent that can be used in the community. He is a Talmud Chacham. He knows how to learn, and he has to get the word out. And man, meanwhile, he's new in town. So the guy shows up, and here I am. I happen to play a musical instrument, you know, fantastic. And I know that they're always importing musicians from somewhere else, you know. So what do you do? How do you conduct yourself? Because on one hand, you know, Shlomo HaMelech is telling us, yeah, Lel Chazal, let someone else compliment you, and you shouldn't be your own advertising agent. You know, put it that way. So there's a Sefer Chassidim, and the Sefer Chassidim says that if you find yourself in that predicament, what you should do is just mingle amongst the people And in your conversations, it will come up somehow, some way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see to it that it happens, that it'll come up. Hey, this guy's a Talmud Chacham. Hey, this guy's talent. It's amazing. And your services will be put to use. But for a person to go out and advertise himself for whatever, even if he's honest, and even if it's true what he's saying, that is a symbol of what he's. I just want to share a story that happened with myself and my Rashiva Rabbi Leibitzach, Rashiva Chavetz Chaim Yeshiva, who should have a refuah shalema, and we'll learn in his chus. Altachanochenach ben Chayi Rivka Leah, Shehav Rifu Shalema. And I was with him. I drove him to a medical office for an appointment with a doctor. And we were waiting in the lobby for the elevator to come. And there was another Jew in the lobby. I haven't mentioned this. And he came over. And this other Jew comes over and seeing a chashuva looking person, a saintly looking person, and he comes over to my Rosh Hashiva, who is, you understand, he's the Rosh Hashiva of Chavetz Chaim, that's a major yeshiva in New York City, and he says to my Rosh Hashiva, "What's your name? Shalom Aleichem, what's your name?" And my Rebbe responded, "Henoch Leibowitz." He says, "What do you do?" the man asked, and my Rebbe said, "I'm a Malamed." "Oh, you're a Malamed. Where are you a Malamed?" "In a yeshiva in Queens." And that was very nice. Exchanged a few words and he walked away. Now, of course, I disappeared for a moment or two and I quietly let this person know who he was just speaking with. I felt it was the honor of my yeshiva that I had to tell him. But, in my own eyes, there I was seeing, a manifestation of this. Here he is, a Rosh Hashiva. And, his picture's in the paper and his name appears in articles, but, the person didn't know what he looked like. So this concept of letting others praise us is a wonderful idea if we're working on our humility and we're trying to fight against haughtiness. It's a good point, although, there are times that you need to share information with others. I mean, if you're going to an interview for a job, and the people who are meeting with you, they want to know your background, they want to know your experience. I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying that, worked at a certain company, you had certain successes there, and so on and so forth. That is okay. But, in a regular conversation, to go on and on about, how great you are and what you know, and we're going to see more about this. So this is, an important thing to keep in mind. I don't know if you're aware of this. When Ramosha Feinstein came to America, and although he was a relatively young man at that time, he was a giant in Torah. How does he become the Gadol Hador? How does he become the Posek of the generation? We're in the middle of the politics now and the run for the White House. And what these people, I'm just shocked that they're not ashamed to speak about themselves the way they do. In public, it's like it's so beneath. I feel it's just so beneath their dignity to do it. But how does one become the Gadol Hador? There are no elections for the Gadol Hador. Like you don't get all the Jews together and say, okay, who will it be, Rabbi so and so, or post our ballots. You see campaigns, and you imagine the posters all over the all the subway stations. Vote for me. I'll paskin all your shailas the way you want. how does it happen? So I was told that Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, he moved in to the apartment in the east side of New York City. And somebody, one Friday afternoon, had a shaila in the house. And they didn't know what to do. And they figured, this new man just moved in. And we'll knock on his door. And who knows, maybe he happens, know this halacha. And they knocked and Rabbi Moshe answered, yeah, happened to know the halacha. And he told him the halacha. So what happened? The next week, there was another person in the building also had a shaila. He went, ended up at the doorway of the first person. And he said, I got the shaila. You know, any suggestions? What do you, I tell you, he says, I tell you, I don't know the answer to your question, but last week I had a Shaila, and this new guy down the hallway, you know, he answered mine, maybe he'll answer you. And this happened a few times, and before you know it, hey, he must be the one who knows the, he must be someone special. He seems to be answering our questions. So this is the idea that the Sefer Chassidim is suggesting, somehow, some way, but to advertise about yourself, that I am so-and-so, and welcome to me, so to speak, is not the way to go about it. Okay, let's continue the next paragraph. Hageya, a person of haughtiness, a balgaiva, liolam yachsib tov liatzmo, will forever establish good for himself. Umitochach lo yatriach atzmo ala Torah karoi. And this will cause that he will not toil in Torah properly. In other words, we're going to see a direct correlation between a Baal Gaiva and one's accomplishments in Torah. Why? Ki lo yochosh al kvod shamayim. He will have no regard for the honor of heaven. Rak shel yodu lo ha'olam shehu adam tov yishchacham. The only thing that's on his mind is that others should admit and agree that he is a good person and he is a chacham. And that suffices for him. And he will be forever happy in the stumbling of someone else and the fact that someone else has a limited or minimal amount of knowledge. Oh, he loves it when the other guy in a class doesn't know the answer. Or if everybody else was asked the Shaila and they didn't know, and finally it comes to him and he loves it. And he is honored in the downfall of his friend. And listen to this statement, gentlemen. This is one of the 24 items. At the end of the Sefer, there is a gate called the Shah HaTshuva, where he, with the Orchos Adikim, of course, instructs us in the steps of tshuva. And he says that there are, he enumerates 24 items that are ma'akvim to tshuva, are deterrents for tshuva. And this is one of them. In fact, interesting, there's a Gemara Chagiga, Gemara Yerushalmi Chagiga, Perek Gimel, Halacha Aleph, that says that if a person's honor is increased because of the failure to others, listen to the words, very strong words, he loses his chelik in Olam Haba, assuming there's no tshuva. This person, he gets more honor in town, and it came about because somebody else had a failure. In other words, somebody else forgot the halacha. Somebody else couldn't fix the car. And it came to you, and it became sort of like known, and your honor was increased at the failure of someone else, then you lose your chelik of Olam Haba, again, assuming you didn't do tshuva. I'm sorry? So the question is being raised, obviously. I mean, the concern here is, what do you want from me? I mean, they walked around town, no one knew the answer to the shaila, they came to me, and I knew the answer, and because of that, I received more honor, that he happened to know it, no one else knew it. So he's talking here, that Gemara is referring to a situation where the person himself is, he's lapping it up. In other words, he's feeling the glory at the expense of someone else. If it came to his doorstep, because other people were asked first, but that's of course that's not his fault. But if he's sitting back and he's watching as other people are being asked, or other people are attempting every other matter to get the problem solved, and he's sitting there and he says, "I can't wait because I know nobody else is going to know, or I'm hoping nobody else will know it until it comes into my lap, and then I answer it, and you feel the rush of gaiva." Then so to this the Gemara says the person loses. It's a very, very, very strong statement. Now let's continue. Adam shekalmasav tovim umishalel bohem liskabed, a person who has good deeds, but he is constantly being praised or feels the praise. Dome, listen to this comparison. Dome latafshul choshev miot. This can be compared to a very fine dish of food. Mituvol mikol afkas rochel b'roshe b'samim, and it is prepared with the with all seasonings and beautiful spice, delicious spices. V'omer etz al ha'esh, but it sits in the pot on the fire too long, ad she'yehei makdiach u'masriach, until it overcooks and it spoils. To the point that it becomes so burnt that you can't eat it. Kach, that's the moshel. Here's the nimshel. Kach ha'adam ha'mizboi b'masim, a person who boasts about his actions. Makdiach u'masriach b'mahalolo masav atovim. He is ruining and he is spoiling with the praise his good deeds. In other words, he has good deeds. He's a good guy, and he is sort of like deserves the praise he's getting. But if he is seeking it out, it's like the pot of food that's being spoiled too long in the fire. In other words, the food was great. The food was fine. It was a delicious roast. He kept it on too long, so he spoiled it. Here too, this person's wonderful. But because he's sitting too long on the Gan Gaiva, so he ruins what he had. A person certainly who boasts about wisdom and good deeds that he doesn't have, in other words, he's making it up and he's boasting about it. There is no worse trait than this. He says there's nothing that compares to it. Don't Chachamim say, and he quotes a Gemara Yerushalmi, if a person is approached and people are honoring him by the fact that he knows two Mesechtas, he knows two tractates of Gemara, and he knows about himself that he only knows one, Yomar lehem, he's obligated to say to them, Achas ani yodea, I'm sorry, I only know one. So kol shkein v'chol shkein, all the more so, certainly, shelo yates ha'olam, he shouldn't fool the world, sheyisperu sheyesh bo malo sheim bo, to make people think that he has attributes that he doesn't really have. In other words, giving any impression to other people that you have something that you really don't have is completely misleading, and he considers it a terrible character trait, which is a very strong lesson here. Go ahead. Okay, let's continue. Now, how careful must we be? The next paragraph explains Veda. The author says, man needs to know, shanachnu mechuyavim shiyu kol ma'asinu miyuchodim l'shem habor yisalek. A person's every action must be dedicated, designated, and specified for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bagoloi uvaseiser, and this is very difficult. Bagoloi means overtly, and seiser means covertly. What you do on the outside, what is seen and what is not seen, in other words. V'chol ma'asei avodas Elokim yeh lahagia ratzono bilvad. And every bit of our divine service should be for the sake of attaining and reaching the Ratzon Hashem, the will of Hashem. And bilti Ratzon b'nei Adam, absent of the will of others, lekavod shevach amaseo lekavod kavod, to hope for their praise and to receive honor. Ach yasa hakol l'shem hokel hamashgif el halev. But everything should be done for the sake of Hashem, who looks into our hearts, and He proves it. Kemo she'omar hakosov, like the pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, ani Hashem choker lev bochen kloyos. I am Hashem who searches the hearts and examines the innards. In other words, Hashem says, let's make it clear, I know what you're thinking. I know what's in your heart. You know, the Malbim says on this pasuk, the Malbim says, Hashem is really telling us, I know if what you see is what you get. Normally speaking, in the world, what you see is not what you get. Present company excluded, of course. But generally speaking, the rule is, what you see is not what you get. In fact, there's a beautiful pshat on the Mishnah. I don't remember who says it, and perhaps it's a drush, and so I can't say it's the real pshat, but I think it's Das Torah anyway. Al tarden es chaverecha ad shetiyeh b'mkomo. There's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos that says, Al tarden es chaverecha ad shetiyeh b'mkomo. Don't judge another man until you're in his place. Simply it means, until you find yourself under the same circumstances, and you see how you react, don't judge someone else who's in those circumstances. That's a simple, you know, pshat in the Mishnah. But there's a pshat that says, Al tarden ad shetiyeh b'mkomo. Don't judge him until you're in his place, meaning until you're in his house, until you are where he is. Hang around him, become part of his company, in other words, be his company, in his house, in his office, ad shetiyeh b'mkomo, until you're in his place. Let's see how he acts behind the scenes. Let's see how he acts behind closed doors. Let's see how he is with the shades drawn. Ad shetiyeh b'mkomo. Then you'll see the real person. Then perhaps you can judge him. I mean, even then, of course, you got to be careful. We try never to judge others. But that's an insight in the Mishnah. You know, how do you basically you're saying you don't know a person. We don't really know, because what you see is not necessarily what you get. So here the Malbim is saying that this pasuk Yirmiyahu HaNavi is saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm the only one who knows is if what you see is what you get. Let's continue. V'yamar, furthermore, the pasuk says is a pasuk in Devarim Hanistaros LaShem Elokeinu, that those items which are hidden to Hashem, they're not hidden. Lachain, therefore, Yeida Hageya, the Balgaiva, the haughty person needs to know. This is a very important next 2.5 lines. Im lo yizoher b'chachma uvezrizus. If a person does not make an attempt and be careful with wisdom and with eagerness, with enthusiasm, zrizus, lihi notzel min hagaiva, to save himself from haughtiness. Afalpi, listen to these words. Afalpi sheyesh biyado Torah u'masim tovim. Even if he is possessed with Torah and good deeds, he can be a Talmud Chacham. He can be the nicest guy in the block. If he has gaiva, hu yoresh gehenim. He will inherit gehenim, the purgatory. Imagine, how could it be? A person Talmud Chacham, he knows the Gan Shas. He knows Chumash Torah, he knows everything. And he's a nice guy to boot. If he's a Balgaiva about it, if he thinks he is God's gift to the world, so to speak, in a wrong way, then he's Yorish Gehenim. Ki Ayetzel Revlo, maybe Tano Saros Lahavi Adam Lide Gaiva. The Yetzahara tricks a person and he brings proofs that he should become a Balgaiva, that he should be haughty. In order that the person will be chased out of the world, that Hashem will get rid of him. And by the way, anybody is interested in a deeper insight into this, you'll take a look at the Mishilas Hasharim at the end of Perek Beis, in the middle of Perek Beis, where he describes the devious methods of the Yetzirah to entrap his quote-unquote victim, step by step, how he does, and really he uses every possible means of deception to get a person to think that he's doing the right thing. It's an amazing, amazing concept if you want to take a look further there. Lachain, therefore, let's finish the paragraph. Lachain, therefore, ayis atzel min atzeach yitzahara yom yom. Don't be lackadaisical in trying to overpower the Yetzirah every day. If it's a nikra milchama gedola, and this is the big war. We find a story that happened be'echad min ha-chasidim she'poga ba'anoshim ha'boh min ha-milchama. A chassid was came into contact with soldiers returning from war. V'shalalu shalal gadol, and they had great spoils of war. Amar lahem, he said to them, shaftem min ha-milchama ha-ketana. He says, soldiers, you are now returning from the small war. V'adayin atem asidim la-milchama ha-gadola. And you have yet to face the big war. Amar lo, so they said to him, mahi ha-milchama ha-gadola. What big war are you referring to? What could be worse than what we're coming from the battlefield? Amar lahem, he said to them, the Yetzirah and his troops. His troops. The Yetzirah has troops. What are the troops? All the midos, all the sins, all the possible ways of getting us to transgress. Those are the troops of the Yetzirah. Kichal oyev shi yesh lecha. Now listen to the words of the Yoruch HaSadikim. It's an amazing thing. What an insight. Any enemy that a person has, If you overcome, if you whip the person once, twice, three times, you knock him down, if he has any brains in his head, he's going to let you go. He's not going to mess anymore. Right? It's obvious. But the Yetzara, he will not let us go. We can down him 100 times, knock him to the canvas 100 times. Like the Chachamim say, Al tamein b'hatzmucha yom oscha. Don't trust in yourself until your dying day. And the Rambam says, it appears a Rambam here, I believe it could be a Ramban actually, that says, never become too overconfident in yourself, even if you perfected a midah, because there's a concept called backsliding, ethical backsliding, that you slip and you fall. So we can feel about ourselves that, I am at such a high level, I worked on this for years, the midah of kas, let's say, of anger, and I worked on it, and I have it completely under control. You never know the Yetzirah will give you, a left hook to the, and he knocks you out. So that's one interpretation here. That's one explanation. Also, we have to remember, gentlemen, that we never know our midos until they're tested. So we could have perfected a midah, but have we faced the test and passed the test? Don't we find Yochanan Kohen Gadol, the famous case of Yochanan Kohen Gadol? He served as the Kohen Gadol. That means he entered into the Kodesh Kadoshim 80 years into the Kodesh Kadoshim. At the end of his life, he went off, he became a tzaduki. He went off the path of Torah. Imagine, how could it possibly be such a thing? Let's continue. All of our lives, he waits, and maybe we will lose sight of him. In other words, he's always checking us to catch us in a weak moment. There's a beautiful pshat here, really a beautiful pshat. On this parak, Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Atamim Batzma Yom Moscha. There's a commentary called the Mili Deovos that says that what the Mishnah means to tell us here is run like a deer to do Hashem's will. Why a deer? Amazing concept. A deer, as he's running away, he constantly is looking back to see if he's being chased. That's the nature of a deer. I'm not a zoologist, but that's what the Pirush says, that he keeps on looking back to see. That's how we have to go through life. We figured we're away from the Yetzirah. Keep on peeking back. Who knows? Is he sneaking up behind us? 3 lines from the bottom, let's continue. V'im yinat tzeichacha b'kalos shebekalos. And even if the Yetzirah overcomes us in the so-called lenient kind of averas, so if yinat tzeichacha b'chamura b'shebechamuros, then his foot is in the door, and he can get us on the most strict ones, the most serious ones, severe ones. V'avur shehagaiva shorosh l'harbe midas p'chusos. And since gaiva, haughtiness, is the root of many despicable traits, and the Yetzirah is milling around within our hearts, and his venue is to try to make that which is truth look false, and try to make that which is false look true. And of course, he tries to teach us how to be Baalei Gaiva. He says, therefore, a person needs to be careful to try to outsmart him. And the truth of the matter is, a lot of this is simply just taking the time and pausing every once in a while, whether it's once a day, twice a day, the more the better. Because part of the most major weapon in the Yetzirah is, or at least one of the most major weapons, is to keep us busy. So we cannot contemplate, we can't think of how our midos are going. You know, it's like these. We live in a day of the technology where you either have, you know, your cell phone and you have a beeper and you have the laptop and your email and your fax machine and everywhere. I don't know. Do people go on vacation? You have a one moment in your life that you don't have to be answerable, just to go somewhere. You know, I saw a cartoon with a father with his son sitting on a beachfront, and the son is playing with one of those, I guess, I don't know what they call those, Game Boys, electronic games, Xbox, whatever they call it, but in order to be fearful of running out of batteries, you need some energy. So the father is sunning himself with a reflector, and there is a wire running from the reflector into this gadget that the kid is playing with. So, you know, the sunlight, the solar energy will keep on pumping. No, you finally had an opportunity to sit with your son on a beachfront, you know, with no distractions. So the tikh paraleim avoda, this is Paro's trick, that he tries to, the more technology, now of course the technology could be used for good, of course, obviously, but if we don't sort of like get rid of the technology for a few moments of our day, in our daily routine, then we can't contemplate, we can't imagine what the Eitzahar is creeping up and doing to us. Okay, gentlemen, have a wonderful evening, and Mr. Shem will continue next week.